back. Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio. My co-pilot here is in the seat. He's buckled up. We're ready to go. It's good to be back. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Richard. How are you today? It's always good to be back. And when I don't feel that I've been linked to being on Reflections in the Dark for a little bit, it's kind of like an emptiness. I have to admit it. You know, it's like you get that fix that you have to go on there because it means so much for us to, you know, get our information out there that I'm lost without it. So it's definitely good to be back. Beautiful weather here in New England, and it should be an excellent show. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it will be. A couple of quick announcements. I've been telling you that I was going to be in Birmingham doing a seminar on the weekend of July 24th and 25th, and I have to regretfully tell you that it's been postponed to a later date to be determined. The timing did not work out as far as a facility. We thought we had one, but not going to work out, so I'm sorry to say I won't be in Birmingham that weekend, so we will carry on as soon as I know. I'll let you know. The studio is in process. Things are being acquired. I'm about to start the work on the room this week, moving furniture out, moving desks and cameras and lights and backdrops in. And at the same time, the websites are in process, so there's a big reveal coming, so get ready for that. Last week, and Joe wasn't here, so I don't know if he caught up on it, the changes in Reflections in the Dark, rather than for 5 years now, we've been doing it topic-based, week to week, whether it was a guest or in the news or technology, and while that's all well and good, it's kind of run its course. So we're going to take Reflections in the Dark and make it more news commentary-based, which means every week we could have a combination of stories, commentary, guest, field reports, which means we need some people to step up and say, hey, I've wanted to do this. I'd like to do a 5-minute report on something from out there. You write us at supernaturalresponse.net, use the contact button, and we'll discuss it with you. And of course, there will be some kind of an audition process, and we'll talk about that. So we're going to take Reflections in the Dark and turn it into your weekly place to come find out what's going on in the world. Movies, media, technology, all that kind of stuff. Signs and of the times, and then we'll just take it from there.
What I like about it is, you know, during the past few years, if you notice, we have done certain episodes where it was kind of like field reports and, you know, a couple little updates that we've done here and there, you know, and we've managed to blend that in with whatever topic we were talking about or whatever, you know, or guest that we had on. You know, but we always had the signs of going that way. And I think it's the perfect time to come out with it because really we are here for our audience and to keep them updated on what's going on in the world, both naturally and supernaturally. So I think it's great. I think it was finally time to come out doing that. And we could also do like a weekend update. You know, like Chevy Chase did it, you know? We can update with Chevy Chase. I'm Chevy Chase. I'm Joe Citrone, and you're not.
That'll get us into some trouble, because if I let that guy out of his cage and let him have some fun, we'll be off the air. But, yeah, that would be... that would be interesting. So who knows? We like to keep it fun. Speaking of signs in the time, somebody wrote me this week, and one of the categories somebody suggested, and I think it might be a good one, is questions. Ask Joe and Richard and then send in your questions. And somebody sent me one, and it was in regards to the Texas flooding, the flooding in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, in that area of the United States. Did I think it was HAARP related? And my response was, it's possible that it is, and I found a number of websites that say unequivocally that it is. I just have a hard time vetting their information. I have no way of confirming that the satellite imagery and the color charts and all of this is real. And I don't know if the EMF things that they're picking up aren't just storm related, because we know the clouds give off a signature, an electrical signature. But I will say this, there's something weird going on. Right now, Texas death toll is up to 31. They found two more bodies this week, and one of them was a six-year-old boy. They're pretty sad. A whole family on vacation in I think Wembley, Texas, Wimberley, something like that. The whole house came off the foundation and took them. The father, they found. The dog was up in the tree. The mother and the two children were not found, but they just found the little boy. Plus another family, grandparents, multiple generations of people. I mean, this is craziness. The amount of rain and flooding, and now they're talking about 12 times the normal number of snake bites because the snakes are fleeing their flooded habitats, and they're winding up in city streets. I watched a video on YouTube of a local DJ giving a kind of a field report from his cell phone, and he stepped on a snake and got bit because the snake was right there on the sidewalk. I mean, this is just craziness.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether we can look at something being hop-related or, you know, tying into the supernatural implications or anything that's leading into, you know, the conspiracy theories and the truth of the matter is, if you put all that aside, these natural disasters that are happening throughout the world is all a clear indication of the beginning of, I think, and you'd mentioned it before, it's the beginning of those birth pains. It's the beginning of getting ourselves prepared for what ultimately will come. And these things are just, I mean, they're tragic events and people are dying and it's sad and absolutely it's awful. But if this is just the beginning or that warm-up phase you know, to something bigger deep going into the end times, then Richard, we have a big problem. You know, and we already know that what's going to happen, but talking about what's going to happen and witnessing it and going through it are two different things, as you know. I mean, it's easy to prepare yourself mentally for something or be aware of what's going on, but being in the middle of an earthquake or, you know, a tidal wave or anything, a fire, a disaster, it is, you react a lot differently because it's happening to you. And what scares me is a lot of people take what is happening kind of, I don't want to say for granted, but they have the attitude of, well, that's probably not going to happen here, or that won't happen to me. And chances are it might not, but you can't just ignore these things, because what if it does? Are you ready? Right. Are you prepared? And will it take something like that to change your thought pattern? Does it take a disaster or a death of someone or a loved one to wake you up? Or can you take these signs now, apply it, and prepare for it so it won't have to go to that extreme? Somebody had said to me this week, we were having a conversation, and said that it seems like those who find God or seek out God is usually during a crisis or a disaster. And does it always have to go to that extreme for somebody to seek God? Why does it seem like, and even in they were talking about certain things in the Bible, why does it take a tragic event or going into a tragic event, or if somebody's in prison all of a sudden that they find the Lord, why does it have to go to that extreme? And the only answer, I mean, the only thing that I can come up with personally is because you can't see God and you don't interact as you would with the person continuously, as a friend or as somebody that you see all the time, and it's tangible, it's easy to forget that. And it's almost like a tragic event will be a reminder of, oh, maybe I should, you know, maybe I should pray, maybe I should do this. And it's twofold there. There are people that have changed their lives around in a tragic event and finding the Lord. And there's some people that wait for something like this to continuously happen to get them back on track. Well, you know, this woke me up, you know, now I'm back on track. I get it. And it's that lukewarm,
right.
You know, that happens to people. But, you know, you dealing with people and counseling people throughout the years, I mean, have you found that same pattern happening? Does it always seem to be during a trial or tribulation that somebody wants to seek the Lord?
It just seems like people are, for the most part, selfish and self-centered. And what I mean by that is they don't seek God until they need him. Otherwise, they're self-sufficient, self-reliant. I don't need God right now. I remember somebody, when Michael Jordan was at his peak, somebody tried to witness to him, another celebrity of equal stature, and he just simply said, I don't need God right now. And the arrogance of that is exactly the way mankind is. And, you know, when you're talking about natural disasters, 2004, we went through four hurricanes in a row, one of which hit where we lived pretty hard. I mean, the sky went black, the storm was whipping through. Luckily, we were on the weak side of the whip. We were on the left side of the whip. If you were on the right side, you caught the full brunt of it. So we got it just as it was winding up. But I looked out my window, watched a tree get torn in half, our basketball pole bent in half, and just thinking, wow, you're sitting there and you're praying and you're trusting in the Lord, but understanding your own mortality. You look at these people in Texas and Oklahoma, the flash flooding. One woman described it one minute, was sitting there, the next thing I know, I've been ripped out of the house and I'm floating down the river. One lady went to work that morning and everything was normal. When she came home, her furniture's floating. I mean, in an 8-hour time, that's how quickly it happened. And that's how, these are the suddenlies that are building up. Whether it's the earthquakes, the ring of fire is rumbling right now. On both sides of the ring of fire, things are shifting. Anything can happen. And the crazy thing is we just can't seem to get it right. Let's just jump to the spiritual implications of what's coming. I think you and I talked about this, Larry and I, and some other people. I mean, this is what I do, the dealing with the supernatural. This is what we do. This is what I've been doing since the day I was born and then since I got saved. And I got to tell you, with what I see coming, what is on the horizon and what is manifesting now, I'm not afraid, but I'm concerned. I'm actually startled by the depth of the interaction between the two worlds. Somebody called me the other day and said, well, you know, you've been saying it for years that there was no veil. I get it now. There's no veil between the two worlds, and they are interacting at will. And we're seeing that just in everyday experiences. We're seeing it in movies, TV, all this other stuff. And now there's this thing going viral on the internet, started as a Twitter craze called the Charlie Challenge, where you do this simple little ritual. You take a piece of paper, you draw four squares, you put two yeses and two noes, you put two pencils in the form of a cross, and you call out Charlie. Simple little thing. It's supposed to be a Mexican demon named Charlie. Well, some of them are posting their videos, so you know they're honestly afraid. There's this craziness going on, and the results are screams and whispers, broken mirrors shaking, bookshelves, door handles rattling, mysterious scratching noises, kind of stuff that we see in the paranormal. Just simply from, they put this ritual down, and they say, Charlie, Charlie, are you here? Sometimes there's no response. They think, oh, we failed. They go downstairs, I'm going to get the bite to eat, and then they hear noises and whispers coming from their room. Things start to fall. This is just bizarre. And what gets me is, and I think you'll agree with me, Joe, it's got to have something to do with all these movies about the Ouija board and about the summoning of spirits that everybody thinks it's a game. And my joke is, yeah, it's all fun and games until somebody gets possessed.
Well, Charlie is nothing like taking the Pepsi Challenge back in the day. You know, if you don't know the rules of this, obviously the rules are supposedly Charlie's a polite demon and you have to ask him if you can play the game. So you say, Charlie, Charlie, can we play? And then you wait until the pencils move to say yes or no. And if the pencil points to yes, you can continue asking him questions. If it points to no, you cannot. Or you have to ask again. Then, when you were done, you have to ask Charlie if you can stop playing. So it's basically speaking to this polite demon known as Charlie. So he's a Mexican demon, as you said. So apparently he's a bilingual. And then there's a little, in the article that I had read about a little bit more about this, is Christians have a problem with it because they liken it to be the Ouija board, which Christians feel is a tool used to converse with demons. Of course, scientists have proved more than once why or how the Ouija board moves. So since a lot of scientists and Christians seem to want to have a battle like the Hatfields and the McCoys, it isn't likely everyone will accept each other's thoughts on it. And then it goes on and it talks about basically how it went. And you know something? I want to say, this is what I will say about it. When you're dealing with tarot cards, Ouija boards, any type of divination tool, obviously we know that it opens up a gateway to the unknown, to the supernatural world, to the demonic realm. However, you know, people out there want to interpret it, it's still used as that tool to make contact with something from the other side. And like the Ouija board, like the tarot card, like Charlie, there are scientific explanations, you know, how you could almost will a Ouija board to move, you know, and same thing with the pencils, depending on the way gravity, the pencil is placed on top of the other pencil, the gravity moves it. Could it be coincidental that it happens to move? Because obviously it's going to point into the direction of yes or no, no matter what. If it's a sign, if it's gravitational, it's going to do that. But what's suspicious is the timing of how it might answer that question. Meaning there are people who have used it that have asked a question and it knew to move right to yes or right to no. So though I believe it can be debunked in many ways, like I believe a Ouija board could, or somebody using cards could do the same thing, there is that small percentage of it actually being supernatural, that there is a force that has moved in or taken what you said, and sometimes you have faith enough to believe and will that spirit to come into this dimension, which obviously we know that they're inhuman spirits that do that, then it makes it easier. So do I think the percentage of a lot of these people doing it could be false? Sure. But I do believe there's a genuine, authentic percentage that has experienced something, that has allowed something in, and I believe that the spiritual forces of wickedness have found a way to manipulate our phones, our internet, to take all those little things that we have to use for our advantage, to also turn it to use it for their advantage. And if you're going to play games, I mean, what better? Listen, when you and I were younger, we, you know, even when we wanted to buy a cassette or an album, the only information we ever got was what was on that album. You couldn't just go to the internet and do a search and find all that information on that artist or, you know, the finite little details. Now, you can find everything out and then take it to another level and take it to another level because there's many different interpretations of what's going on. So the internet manuscripts of how to summon spirits, should I say, are all over the place. And that's sad. And I'll have you elaborate a little bit on it. And then I want to go back to something quickly that's also mentioned in the Bible about this.
Well, you know, the one thing you and I talked about when I first popped up was the law of attraction. And I think it's the law of thermodynamics, energy attracts energy. If you have somebody who sincerely wants to make contact with something, and that entity, which is also energy, picks up on it, or maybe it's a familiar spirit, maybe it's already in the area, in the home, in the family, we don't know. Almost every time we get a call with somebody that has paranormal problems, there's an ancestral issue. So you take a game like this, and you want to connect to something who's gladly going to respond to whatever name you call it. I mean, there's no caller ID. You don't know for sure that this is Charlie. But some of the reports I read indicate to me something happened. One girl from Brownsville, New York, said she started to hear noises coming from her room. She walks into the room and her Bible's face down on the floor. And she figures, oh, that must have been my cat. She tries to debunk it. And then she realizes the mother's taking the cat to the vet. There's no cat. So she says, you know, she's just going to hunker down, hide. And then she starts hearing whispers coming from the living room. Another girl felt a burning sensation on her hand, back, and lower leg. And we know, the minute I heard that, that sounds real to me. That's a real manifestation. She just said she felt surrounded by evil and that she was being watched. And then she did this with a bunch of friends. And one of her friends starts screaming, and they see this figure reflected off of the cabinet glass, and they all looked, and they all saw a man, a male figure, with black and red eyes. And so her thing on Twitter is, do not do this. Another girl from Sheffield, England, puts a picture up that ever since they did the challenge, she has an iPhone and an iPad, and this is what keeps coming up. Siri keeps popping up on the screen going, I don't want to do this anymore. Nobody's asking it any questions. Nobody's doing anything. It just simply says, I don't want to do this anymore. As if the spirit is using that technology. But, you know, and let me close it out with this, because I read another article in The Independent. Who is Charlie? As most urban legends, who Charlie is seems to vary on who's telling it. Some say it's the child who took his own life. Others, it's a demonic Mexican man with black and red eyes. And this is the part that killed me, and this is how they end the article. The only way to really find out who he is for sure is to play the game and ask him. And I want to write them and go, really? Did you just suggest to your readers? I know you're being tongue-in-cheek and being facetious, but come on, folks. I guess we have a different perspective. We know that this can be real. And of course, we confirm when it is real, and then we deal with it. But it just seems to me that in the digital age, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, smartphones, tablets, smart TVs, smart watches. Now, I read an article about Google working with Levi's to create smart clothing. We're going to become walking, talking antennas for the paranormal. And in many ways, we already have. If you wear the Bluetooth earpiece or whatever, you're just a walking conduit, transformer, transmitter for whatever's going on around you. And you better be born again, saved, healed, and delivered, and sealed in the armor, or you're going to get connected to.
You know, I can't help but always go back to that movie Pulse, because Pulse introduced how the spirits could manipulate through radio, through cell phones. And you know, although that was a few years ago, it made a lot of sense. And, of course, obviously you have the movie aspect of it. So every time they lost service or they weren't in a signal to receive that, then the spirits would disappear. And it all made, you know, I get it. But it's really not too far off to what's happening now. And the Siri thing, you know, I never even stopped to think about that, but it just made sense to me. Why wouldn't you have these artificial assistants who do have a voice, who really keep track of what is going on? Whenever you have a question, it's going to answer. Why wouldn't it be a built-in Ouija board type of thing? Why wouldn't it be a built-in divination tool to know by your searches and asking it questions, if you're one to search the internet on the supernatural or ghosts or things like that, why wouldn't all that data go into an information system and people taking that and then boom? I mean, you had mentioned that the veil has between both worlds has been torn. I mean, you've said that a few years ago, and I think that's just, it makes more sense as to why using electronics are going to bring about all these manifestations that are happening. But I do want to say this. It was a topic a couple of weeks ago. I did some research on it because I hadn't gone back into that scripture in those passages for a while. But even speaking into 1 Samuel chapter 28, I think it starts at verse 8 or 9, I'm not sure, where it talks about the witch of Endor, where Saul actually consults a medium to find answers as to what was happening, because obviously he had turned his back on God, and God wasn't giving him any answers as to, you know, any direction. And then bang, next thing you know, he poses as somebody else, obviously, because of the medium's death sentence, if they were actually, because I think it was like Saul had ordered all these witches.
Yeah, it was a kingly decree that they would be killed if they got caught. So he shows up looking. Indeed, the word from Samuel. Unfortunately for him, Samuel's dead.
Right, so Samuel is dead.
Yeah, he goes to the witch of Endor, and to conjure up Samuel. And then the story goes, she figures out it's Saul, is afraid to do it because he'll kill her, he tells, no, it's okay. And then when she begins to conjure up who he wants, they never says Samuel. Somehow, and see, this interesting thing is, he knew who he wanted to see. And then when she opens up the veil and starts bringing this person up, she sees that it's Samuel. Now she's really freaked. And a lot of Christians will say, well, that was a deception. Well, no, the Bible says it was Samuel.
Right.
And Saul's response indicated it was Samuel. Her response indicated it was Samuel. And then what Samuel said lined up with it being Samuel. So clearly shows in the Bible that those people who have that kind of demonic power can split the veil and summon people from, at that point, Samuel is in what we call Sheol, where the righteous dead were. This is before the Lord empties it after he's crucified. So she opens up the veil into the righteous part of the underworld, and Samuel does appear.
Right, and in mind, the thing about that is you have a lot of people that believe that it was a familiar spirit, that it wasn't Samuel at all, because it said that, you know, it was perceived that it was Samuel. And then, of course, obviously, the word, I think it's familiar spirit, is translated, I think it was ob, which meant ventriloquist, so it was very easy to be manipulated. But what you said makes the most sense, and that's the determination I came. The witch was mind blown that it was Samuel, and it was an actual spirit. So that goes to show that a lot of them were fakes back in the day, and they did a lot of stuff to be able to be like a soothsayer, to just kind of tell somebody what they wanted to hear. But I think that God allowed for this. Well, I would think that God allowed for this to happen. To show the witch, number one, that this was real, and to also still answer Saul's question, because I think it was backed up in Chronicles that it really was Samuel as well, too.
Well, because what he said happened.
It happened. So, right, because how could a demonic entity know future events to come? And obviously we know that it can't be like that. So, you know, that's the ongoing debate that these scholars,
And I think, and I know I covered part of it in my book, the majority of the theological eggheads that say, oh no, that wasn't Samuel, that was a familiar spirit, are usually people that come from the non-charismatic side. They don't believe in the gifts, they don't believe in the supernatural, they don't believe in all of that. That's not possible. God would not allow it. And here's my answer to that. When the children of Israel were entering the land of Canaan, we see it in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. There were certain things they were told not to do. And one of them was dealing with familiar spirits, dealing with mediums, conjurers, soothsayers. God didn't say, don't listen to that, don't pay attention to that because it's not real. He says, don't do it.
Right.
And by the command, he's saying, this is dangerous to you, this is real. because it goes on to explain what will happen and why the punishment was so great. And we know that they were entering the land of Canaan, which was the land of the fallen, which was the land of the Nephilim, and the people that settled in Canaan came from Mesopotamia, came from Samaria. So it all ties back to the fallen angels, all ties back to the supernatural.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, even in today's time now, let's go back to it. Now, well, hey, look at it this way, Richard. If God allowed that to happen, I think there are people out there that justify, well, you could still do it now because maybe God would allow that to happen. No, I don't think that's the case at all. Obviously, like you said, that was before that, you know, that was for then, and we've seen what happened now. But let's go one step better too. We can talk this on a demonic aspect, but if we talk it on a Christian aspect today, and you can answer this question having been part of the ministries and seeing things, we also have people that are self-proclaimed prophets that almost kind of do that same thing too, telling somebody what they want to hear, you know, giving a message, you know, the Lord wants me to tell you this, and people actually buying that. So I think this soothsaying has really gone saturated through with both sides, whether you're consider yourself a witch, whether you're an enchanter or a warlock or whoever you think you are with your religious belief. I think that the enemy can also use this into the Christian world, unfortunately, as well, because we in the end, we seek an answer and we seek something from the other side. And if we're going to mess around with Ouija boards, or we're going to talk to Charlie with pencils, or we're going to conjure up somebody or give a message from the other side that the Lord wants me to tell you this, and I guess you have to always go back to scripture on that too. I don't know if you had said this, Richard, a long time ago when we had discussions in the very beginning of forming SRT, and you were kind of giving us a little synopsis of how this all works. But the prophets of old, okay, is there room, do we need prophets today, or has everything been pretty well prophesied, number one? And number two, would God use these prophets to give somebody a message in whether they're in an event, or, you know, whether, you know, they're a guest at a church, or they're speaking or anything like that? Would God do that, or would we be able to use scripture and say, well, if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit within you, would God be able to reveal this to you? So I know there's a fine line of divination even being used, or thinking that somebody's using it from a biblical perspective. Where is that fine line?
I have a problem with the current trend for prophecy. Somebody was on Facebook, and they have this blurb, oh, I'm having a guest on, and she's really anointed, and she gives words, so if you need a word, a prophecy, call in. And I just shook my head and deleted the person. Because if you believe that, I have a problem with that. Because what you said very clearly is, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom and revelation knowledge can be given directly to you. Now, maybe for some reason, you're not hearing. So if you come to me and say, hey, you know, I'm praying about something, I know, don't know what to do, and the Lord drops something in my spirit that lines up exactly with it, and I help you fill in the blanks, I'm not doing it for you. I'm helping you come to the revelation, knowledge, or whatever it is you need, and it's for His glory. I have a problem for people that do it for profit. I have a problem that people say, well, come, we're going to teach you how to prophesy. We're going to teach you how to... No. If the Spirit does it as He wills. That's pretty clear in the New Testament. He gives as He wills, not as you will, not as you desire, or not as the person you've invited who you're paying an honorarium to and need to put on a show for your congregation. That's not how this works. And I think that's the reason the enemy's been able to get into the camp. True prophets, usually have words from the Lord that people don't like. they will read your mail, and what they say is not pleasing to your ears, which is why in the Old Testament, normally they killed them. And you see that time and time again. Even the Lord, towards the end, when he screams at Jerusalem, the murderer of the prophets, every time God sent somebody to them to correct them, rebuke them, or to give a real word from heaven, they were put to death. I remember having to go to an event in Virginia Beach at Pat Robertson's place, and the guy who drove me there, I was the only one in the van, so I sat up front and we talked, and he began to talk about prophets this and prophets that, and I just looked at him and said, if they're making money and they have a crowd around them, they're not a true prophet of God. And he just looked at me and said, you know what? You're right. That's biblical. I said, yeah. So these guys that are packing auditoriums and putting on the shows with the lights and the smoke and the mirrors, I don't listen to what they have to say, because more often than not, they're really pushing the direction to them. And I'll just call him by name. Kim Clement is one of those guys. Oh, listen to my prophet. Listen to what my prophet says right there. I know I'm not listening to you, because that's not how the Lord speaks. It's about him. It's not about us. And if the individual's drawing attention to themselves and not to the Lord, I don't have any time for that. But what we're seeing is everybody's so hungry for the supernatural. They're hungry for what they've heard about or read about that they fall for the counterfeit. We're seeing that with the youth. We're losing them in droves from the Christian church or the world of the believer, because the place that they go is dead. Nobody's life's being changed. More often than not, it's a feel-good humanistic message. Or they're being sucked in by the smoke and the mirrors and the lights and the entertainment, and they want to hear somebody that makes them feel good about themselves. Well, I get that. We all want to feel good about ourselves, but I want the truth. If I'm sick, I want the doctor to tell me the truth. If I need the right medicine, I want him to tell me what I need. I don't want him to sugarcoat it, and I don't want him to water it down. And that's why this game Charlie is eating up the youth. It's become a viral internet sensation. That's why that movie I talked about many times called The Craft from 1996 that set off the whole witchcraft phase. Do you know they're rebooting that movie?
They're gonna remake the movie?
They're gonna remake the movie with the current technology and the current effects, and they're gonna take it a little further. Yeah, they're remaking that movie. And I said, of course they are. Because now they can ride the wave that they started and take it to a whole nother level and indoctrinate a whole nother group of youth. Look at this. If you want to watch Fox TV, you can get Sympathy for the Devil. Lucifer, the American television series, is going to air on Fox. And it's an adaptation of a comic book character in a spinoff series called Lucifer, published by DC Comics. First picked up in May 9th of 2015. But here's the cast list. I'm sorry. I started laughing, but it's really not funny. The lead character is Lucifer Morningstar. Description, the Lord of Hell, who is bored of his life, abdicates and becomes a consultant at the Los Angeles Police Department, running his own nightclub called Lux along the way. And I've seen the trailer. If you want to go on YouTube, just put in Lucifer TV series pilot trailer and it'll come up. And they're exactly right. He's now a good guy. He's bored with hell, and unfortunately, folks, he's not in hell. And that's part of the misdirection. And so he leaves. He doesn't want to be king of hell anymore. He wants to walk amongst humanity, and now he wants to help them as kind of a vigilante. He has a lover and a confidant who's human. You know, she's his ally, but she's also the leader of this race. Get ready for this one. She's human, but she's the leader of a race that has descended from Lilith.
Ugh.
Okay? Then he has a homicide detective who he works with to help solve crimes. And that he's now working with them to solve murders. He's got a therapist. And then to top it all off, he has an angel that I've never heard before called Amandiel. Amandiel is not any angel I've ever read about, who is trying to convince him to go back to hell. And I'm looking at this going, first of all, those of us that know anything about this know that this is garbage. But It's going to be just cool enough, kind of like Sleepy Hollow, just
right.
dark enough for the kids to like it.
Wow. And when you're thinking, and here's another thing, and you just pretty well said it anyway, they're going to make Lucifer into a character that you're going to say, hey, he's not so bad. And he does have a good side. And then if they decide that they want to read a little bit on the Bible or get some other information somewhere else, they can connect the dots in their own way and say, hey, you know what? Maybe he really wasn't such a bad person. So once again, it's just indoctrinating the fact that evil is good and good doesn't really exist. Or at least it doesn't exist on the Christian level of what we perceive good to be. And with these movies like The Craft, which I did not know about them revamping The Craft. I think The Craft, even till today, was still powerful.
Yeah.
And then Charmed came out, and you know that was kind of like type of craft type of thing. It was like the series with three girls, and you know, and then they took that to a whole different level. But to come out with today's technology, to come out with new, fresh, young, good-looking women, which I'm sure they'll have on there, and good-looking people as a whole, it's going to be very seductive. It's probably going to be a little bit more, with the effects that we have, probably a little bit more believable. So I can see that. And speaking of movies, I am very happy about this, that Jaws is releasing the 40th anniversary, and it's actually going to be playing in, I don't know if they said, like, so many hundred or thousand theaters around the world that you'll be able to see Jaws on the big screen once again.
Which I remember doing, seeing it on the big screen, and that was frightening enough. Now, we would look at that now and say, maybe the effects aren't as good, but my son and Chris and I were talking about it, and he said, but the thing that makes that movie so real is that you know they're out in the ocean. This isn't a studio pool. They shot that in the ocean
off
Nantucket or wherever that was. So there's a real feeling to it. But it's amazing how powerful, and you said something, let's back up a second, that I don't want to say directly disrespects Christianity, but it does. But it does take the truths of the Bible and twist them. That's what Sleepy Hollow does. In all their stories, they're quoting scriptures that don't exist. And so most people, and even most believers who don't read the Bible, go, oh, I didn't know that was in there. And then they just sit there and they accept it, not understanding, no, this isn't real. This is television. This is movies. This is fake. It's entertainment. But you begin to assimilate it. And whether it's sci-fi, story after story about the supernatural, or now Fox is in the game, you just sit there and wonder. And the running joke is, there's got to be fallen angels at the top of the studio system. And if there aren't fallen angels, there are people possessed by them. Because the stories that keep coming out slant everything towards the fallen, towards Lucifer, towards Satan. He's not really bad. He was misunderstood. He really wanted to help humanity and got punished because he stood up to what God wanted to do to mankind. And I'm like, wow, dude, you really have an image issue that you constantly have to tell this story.
Absolutely. And there's another article, and maybe we can talk about it in the news, within the coming weeks. But there was an article that I had read, and you never really could take it with a grain of salt, especially of any type of website or copy and paste from whether it's Facebook or something. But there was an article that I had read that talked about that the pharaohs of ancient Egypt were alien hybrids due to a new genetic study. And I found that interesting because if we're going to talk about hybrids, the first thing that we think of, or at least I think of, is I always say, okay, how does that link to the Nephilim? How does that link to what was going on back in those days? And it would only verify, in which I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of untruth to this, but once again, though, when we start looking at hybrids and whether they're interpreted as being aliens, and we know them to be, you know, demonic entities, it's still that same type of scope, which I believe, once again, because of everything that's been spread out, with everything that's going on, with the mixing the good seed with the bad seed, the good movies, and making the devil appear to be okay, maybe he does have a sensitive side. It'll be the same thing when we're dealing with these hybrids. I really believe that somewhere within the next few years, and it could even be sooner or a little bit later, who knows, that we're going to see more verification of this of these fallen angels. I really, truly believe that the next big movie to be made, as we're dealing with every other category, is going to be one that's going to center around these hybrids. And they will be angelic and demonic in nature. I really, truly believe that is the next phase. And when that starts to come, I think that's going to be trouble. And I think Paradise Lost, that movie was supposed to be made a few years ago, could have set that bar on doing that had that movie come out. But maybe now the time, maybe it's more time for a movie like that to come out now, to look at it from the devil's perspective of how the fall and everything happened, and making God look like the bad person that banished him out because whatever they'll come up with. But you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, you just brought up something that just clicked in my head. In today's society, whether it's Anonymous or one of these other people, or Snowden, anybody who stands up to authority becomes a hero. Whether what they did was right, whether what they did had a good outcome, it's, well, I respect the person that doesn't follow blindly and stands up to authority and questions. So we are in a place now where people would look at Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, and I think that's part of the charade. I don't believe he's Lucifer. I believe this has been part of the misdirection, but that's a whole nother topic. But the point is, we're now in the place where more and more people are likely to look at him as the hero. If you go back and you look at the movie, the one with Paul Bettany, where he rebelled, he was Michael, and he stood up to the fact that God was sending angels down to destroy mankind. It's a recurring theme, but these films where these angels suddenly are rebelling. The Supernatural TV show has the whole thing, God is an absentee landlord, and they're rebelling, and it's because they no longer want to follow blindly. They want to live. They want to make their own choices, and that's where good becomes evil and evil becomes good, and humanity is ripe for that deception. I'm going to take what your prediction one step further. I believe that sometime in the near future, possibly this year, maybe next year, somebody's going to step out of the woodwork, hold a press conference with doctors, with DNA, and prove that they're not completely human. And it's going to set this whole hybrid alien thing, which is being pumped, you know, Ancient Aliens and all these other shows and all these other people who totally ignore. You bring up the fallen angels. Well, that was just part of the myth to cover it up. No, dude. You're the myth. You're the myth. And you're the one covering up the fact that these things fell on Mount Hermon. And they did everything that you're talking about. Genesis 6 predates anything that you can bring up. So there has to be the next step. There has to be the revelation, the coming out, so that these kids that have been indoctrinated, as they get older and the next generation comes up, which is why I think they're rebooting the craft, they're going to indoctrinate another section of kids from middle school to high school to college, those kids from 1996 are all grown up. They're probably parents now. They're probably, you know, so now we have this second wave coming. And we're seeing it with what we've been dealing with and what we've been experiencing, that something's getting ready to pop off. And I believe all of this is the prior PR or marketing for that product.
That's right. And I want to say this one more thing before we bring everything to a close. Speaking of remakes, I don't know if you heard this one, but they are going to also remake, I believe it was 1977, Pete's Dragon.
Well, that would fit. All these how to ride your dragon or how to do...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at Game of Thrones, one of the main characters, the Mother of Dragons, dragons are the new big thing. And you would think, well, it's just fantasy. Is it? What if? What if some of these things coming out of the pit, or what if some of these things that are getting ready to materialize are reptilian in nature? And they have wings. And they fly. Gee, wouldn't that fit into one of the four types of aliens, and also the one of the four types of Nephilim listed in the Bible, the Rephaim? I mean, all this you could say is conjecture, and of course it is. It's theory, it's a lot of things, but what you can't say is it's not plausible. So I don't know. Between everything that's going on in the world, the signs of the times, the what's going on with technology, I think this format week to week, we're never going to run out of stuff to talk about, because just when you think it can't get crazier, it does.
Right. And then Richard and Joe will be right underneath that mound of craziness. We will find that information for you listeners out there. We'll find it and we'll sift it. And then we'll share it. We will find something. As investigators out there, we will definitely going to be. We won't run out of information. That the hill of information, the mound of information, is just going to keep piling up.
Yeah, the one thing that would be great. Somebody wrote me a couple of months ago, and said, you know, this whole concept of a reality series probably won't happen because TV won't let us do our own thing, and we're seeing what happened with the Duggars. Whatever your side is on the revelation about the prior incidents with his sisters, which of course was done when he was a minor, did TLC set them up to take them down, kind of like they did with the Duck Dynasty people? I'd kind of lean in that direction. We'll talk about that another time. But the fact is, no network was going to give you $1 million to make 6 to 10 episodes, whatever it is going to let you do what you want without having control, which is why we've not got one, because I'm not going to give up that control. So maybe the better thing is an internet series where we went from place to place and, beside doing what we do, explained why it was happening. Went to Sedona, went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where the Mothman legend is. Went to all these places and said, okay, here's what's they say is happening, but here's what's happening spiritually, scientifically, historically, and tying it all together, but from the SRT spiritual perspective. Now that would be cutting edge and would change the game.
Absolutely it would, and I believe that we would probably reach a lot more people out there too. I mean, if you went viral on YouTube and in all those places, I mean, they get, you know, some of those videos get hundreds of thousands of hits, and people will sit there and watch that. And if we can give, you know, go to these locations, which I think is unbelievable, and give it, you know, an interpretation that nobody's heard before, or maybe elaborate on one that somebody could have been onto, to be able to take that to another level, to go out there and know that you're willing to do this, and, you know, if you fund it yourself,
then nobody can tell you what to do.
and nobody can tell you what to do, and people will respect them a lot, will still respect that person a lot better. Like, hey, look, this person didn't do it for money. He didn't do it to get on television. He did it because he believed in what he was doing, and he wanted to get that information out there. And sometimes that alone will activate a whole nother wave of investigating as people know it. Because I know that that the average viewer right now is probably tired of the same protocol of all these ghost shows that have come out, because it all follows that same genre. It's all going into a house. It's trying to communicate with something. It's trying to debunk something. It's trying to pull something out of there. And anyway, I think it's time to reboot how people perceive these investigative shows with a whole different flavor, and what we do would be perfect to do that. And in a web series is even more intense.
Yeah, and that would be perfect for the Firefall Network and for us to do it ourselves live, you know, stream it on the internet. And the great thing about streaming right now, we're about to close out here, is that because of smartphones and Roku and Apple TV and Chromecast, you can now stream your show on people's TVs in their living room, and you have completely bypassed the distribution system. All right, we got 3 minutes, brother. What do you think?
I think that I'm Joe Ciccione and you're not. No, listen, I wanted to say this. I think it was a good introduction show. I really enjoyed this today because it really put things into more perspective of the direction that we're going into the rest of 2015 into 2016. So for people out there, I will say this. Don't try to challenge science by getting yourself involved in seeing if Charlie is real or not, because chances are, you know, you might do it and nothing's going to happen. But there's also that possibility that it could do. I think we should adhere to what the Lord says, that he's against these abominations of contacting the dead, not because it's not real, but because how dangerous it can be going forward in your life and what you let in. So be careful about that.
Amen. Just say sorry, Charlie. The thing just jumped in my head, and now I don't have time to explain it. The people that messed around with the mediums and contacted the dead were put to death. And people say, oh, that's a harsh punishment. No, the reason they were put to death because they were then imprinted, and they were bringing that spirit into the camp. That's going to be something to talk about at a later time. It just clicked in my head why it was so dangerous, because of the imprinting on the person and the DNA and all those things. But that's for another time. This was good. I like this. I like the free flow. And this is the way it's going to be, folks. Reflections in the Dark. It's going to be news. It's going to be commentary. And we're just going to cover it all. And you're going to come here week to week to see what's going on and what do we have to talk about. But here's the deal. It's dark. It's not getting dark. It's dark, and the darkness is getting thicker. It's like says in Isaiah, a deep darkness, which in the Hebrew is the same word twice. But we have the light, and we're going to shine that light, and we're going to shine it long, hard, and bright so that you can see what's going on. And then it's up to you. What you do with that, we can't tell you to do. We can't force you to do, but you can't say you didn't know. I'm Richard Grund on behalf of Joseph Trone. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.